You're listening to the Known Legacy Podcast, brought to you by Known Legacy Ministries. For more information, go to knownlegacy.org. Now here's your hosts, Bill and Travis.
Well, 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 how's everyone doing today?
It's good. We've made it through another storm.
Another triad of storms is descending upon DFW. We're through storm two, and so we have another one tomorrow morning. I know.
We're almost there. We got like four to go, I think, is the deal.
Hey, if you haven't noticed yet, if you go to your favorite place to get podcasts, we updated our logo and image that has been 6 years static, and we just updated it.
It's us like this.
Like 20 feet apart at a table.
Exactly.
It's so horrible.
Hey, Travis!
And so anyways, check it out. If you like it, if you don't like it, share with us your thoughts, ideas. And info@knownlegacy.org is always, you can get us there. You can follow us on Facebook, YouTube. I think we're still on Rumble, but go to YouTube and like it, share it. Your favorite podcast download site. As well, give a review. That stuff always helps out.
Yes,
so,
it does.
And if you haven't yet, pick up Bill's book, More Than You, and you can listen to the download
more
audio.
More Than You. It's like The More You Know.
The more you know.
Like a little shooting star. And knowing is half the battle. I mean, there's some great 90s stuff that we missed. I remember that I used to love watching He-Man, and then we would chase it with
G.I. Joe. You had a He-Man chaser.
Yeah, G.I. Joe. It was awesome.
I think this podcast like just jumped some different categories.
Some generations. So,
but it was
like
G.I. Joe,
remember that?
And so Thundercats.
And then it was always like the, and knowing is half the battle.
Oh, always love that stuff.
Good
always,
stuff.
Always.
Classic.
So Kyle, our producer, is here. And gentlemen, it's good to be here. Today we don't have a special guest, so you just got us.
Yeah.
I'm excited about
Known
the topic.
Known Legacy in the raw.
Unplugged.
Unplugged.
It's like everything just goes black.
I'd rather do the unplugged than in the raw. But speaking of raw, let's have this conversation.
Yeah, sounds good.
So let's say you have someone coming over to your house, and let's say there's someone important.
Okay.
And you feel like you got to impress this person. Maybe it's the family, the mom and dad of the girl your boy's been dating. Or maybe it's a president or ex-president, or I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care.
Someone important.
Right, right. Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys. I don't care. The person is not the important part. The important part is you have to grill.
Okay.
Oh, and just so we know, it's barbecue, like smoker, or it's grill.
Or on the grill.
What is your go-to? You know you nail it every time. You got it locked in. You got it loaded. And you know you're going to absolutely impress whoever. Like it'll be the moment where you're like, that was really good. That was really good, Travis.
Okay.
I'm really happy
I've got it. I've got two.
Bill's first. Go.
Ribs. Baby back ribs.
Ribs.
Love me some baby back ribs.
So how do you do your baby back ribs? Let's go. Cooking with Known Legacy.
So there's an amazing rub that I made one on my own at one point because you're trying to, like, I'm going to do this on my own. And then I found one called The Gospel.
Yes.
From
Meat Church. Meat Church. All of their stuff is fantastic.
Oh, it's so good.
So good.
So you put The Gospel on, and then you... And then from there, you'd smoke it. I think I wrap it for like, so I smoke it for 2 hours. I think I wrap it for like an hour in tinfoil to get those juices going, get them there juices going. And then from there, I don't know why I turned into a Texan, but from there.
I don't know if that's a Texan.
I unwrap it all. I take it off. And then I think I let it sit in some sauce for like 30 minutes. So it's like about three and a half hours of that part. And then you put the sauce on it 30 minutes out and. Man, that's just beautiful layer. So that one of them.
Okay.
The second one, I have someone showed me a smoked meatloaf recipe.
Oh, yes.
Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. So I'd probably do both of those together. And I'd be like, here you go.
So you're a barbecue pit guy. You'd be a barbecue pit guy.
Yeah. Smoker. It's beautiful stuff.
All right.
Now, some would not say because I use a pellet smoker.
No,
forgive me.
No,
but
it's legit. It's
a beautiful thing.
It's... Set it, forget it, and you can focus on all the other things.
Set it and forget it.
The pellet smoker, brought to you by Known Legacy. So excellent. What sides would you want either to make or would you ask Sarah to make?
She has this homemade mac and cheese,
solid.
She doesn't like. It's not the. I was gonna say pressure cooker, whatever those things are. There's like some cooker that's like cooks it in like 30 minutes. It's amazing.
Bill's barbecue restaurant.
I know, and then. I could do mashed potatoes there, but I'd probably do some kind of like green, like asparagus.
Yeah.
Sounds
asparagus
good. So that's probably that's my go-to.
Kyle, how about you? What's your go-to barbecue and or grilling experience.
I'm griller.
Okay, good.
1.5-inch ribeye.
Wow.
And salmon.
Oh. Yeah.
My wife likes the fish side. So.
Do you do any anything special with either of those?
Yeah.
Talk to me.
Butter, salt, and pepper.
Butter, salt, and pepper.
And take the corn on the cob, wrap it, put butter in it, wrap it in foil, salt, and pepper.
Do you keep the husk on the corn on the cob, and do you put it on the grill?
Keep the husk on the grill.
That's the way to do it, man.
Yeah. Let that steam.
And my stupid self, every time, I'm like,
You can either keep the husk on and do the salt and butter after, or you can take it out of the husk and put butter in with it and salt and pepper and wrap it in foil and do it.
Dude, I have a friend. His name is Jason, and he does it in the husk, and he gets like a special corn when it's released for 2 weeks from Colorado. I don't even know what it is, but he knows it. He has a hookup or whatever, and he will do like 2 dozen, 3 dozen corn on the cob on the grill in the husk.
And why can you eat like 8 of them? They're so good.
Yeah, he'll bust it down, and he has like this tub of butter that's been melting all day and has a bunch of seasoning. He just lathers it up like we're in a street carnival or whatever. And we went over there one time.
Get the corn on my face.
It was my son Luke had like 6, and my son Jake had like 10. And it's fantastic. Yeah, so good corn on the cob on the grill is amazing.
Welcome to Eating with Known Legacy.
We have so many subsidies. It's fantastic.
I love it.
Subsidiaries. Yes. Studio.
Sorry, so what about you? What about you?
Dude, I'm telling you, I have honed and perfected my steak game. I have honed it and I perfected it. So there's 2 tricks that I've started to do that has changed the game. Number one is you get the steaks out, you make sure they're thawed up, and about 24 to 48 hours before, you wrap them in a paper towel and put them in the fridge. And then you change that out every 6 to 8 hours, depending, and it draws out all that extra moisture out of the steak. So it's a little bit more dense, it's a little bit more thick, right?
Okay.
About 12 hours before you're going to put it on the grill, you salt the snot out of this thing. You just salt it. Not like to where you can't see the meat, but you know, you put more on there than you think you need to. And what that salt does is it gets drawn into the meat. So when you're taking a bite of the meat later, it has that salt flavor all the way through.
Ooh.
Okay? And it doesn't have a lot of moisture because you've already pulled all the moisture out. So the salt just gets so good in there. And then about a half hour before, you need to get it to room temp. You throw your salt and pepper on it. I'm a salt and pepper guy. I don't put garlic or anything else.
Yeah.
Salt and pepper.
It's good.
High temp, about 3 minutes on a side. Get it to medium rare, medium rare, somewhere in there. Pull that bad boy off. Throw some mushrooms on there, some sautéed onions on there.
Oh, heavenly goodness.
I just literally, it's the only time I eat dinner at the house and I don't say a word. Like, I just am like, so good. So
there is good. There is another rub for steak from this place called Midland Meat Co. And it's like a steak rub, like with coffee and like all this kind of stuff. It's so good. But that one sounds amazing with just salt and pepper.
Just salt and pepper, man. That's all you need. If it's a good steak. Oh, New York strip. I'm a New York strip guy.
Okay. Okay.
You know, and I love the ribeye.
Only on the grill do I do ribeye because of the fat.
Yeah.
But if I'm not on the grill, it's filet or sirloin.
Yeah. Oh. Wow, boys, what are we doing for lunch today?
I know, but this took a turn from what we're going to talk about today. Wow, that's crazy.
I'm telling you that we are, well, I think if nothing else, it reminds me that we are physical beings that need physical interaction. And whether it be through the things we smell, the things we taste, or the community we're in, we are wired for these things. And great joy comes to us from the gifts that God gives us in bounty in those different ways.
So absolutely.
Whatever you're grilling this season, man, may your bratwurst not burst. And may your steaks not be overcooked, and may your corn be delicious.
That's amazing. That? I almost feel like we need to stop right now, but we're not going to. Guys, thanks so much for listening today. No.
So, Bill, you got a question for us that we've been talking about, so now we're going to try and remember it and bring it back into the conversation.
Yeah, so we had this question that came to mind because I've been using ChatGPT a lot more just to kind of, you know, not for my writing. I still struggle with it for my writing.
I'm going to assume that everyone knows what that is, but just in case someone does not know what ChatGPT is, would you please kind of update us on what that
is? Yeah, ChatGPT is an online service. It's an open AI is what it's called, and you can kind of ask it questions. And then from there, you can also say, hey, can you make this letter sound nicer? Hey, I've got to write a draft for this. What would I need to make this, you know, what's the best way to do this? Like, questions like that. And so I've been using it more and just kind of.
If you write a letter.
Yeah.
Make sure you take out the first sentence.
Okay.
Because it always says, I hope this letter finds you well. If you ever get an email and it says, I
hope
this...
Are we like 1800s here? What's going on?
No, I swear.
That's interesting.
If you do it, it always starts with, I hope this email finds you. I hope
interesting. I didn't know that.
If you get one, you know it was written by... Okay.
So I'm going to ask this question kind of out of ignorance. I use, you know, AI a little bit, and I know it's on my phone or whatever. Apple's blah, 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 whatever. Kyle, you live in the world of technology.
Yes.
Okay. And so... what is the difference between just AI, right, and an app? Or like proofreading, the tool that we've had for Microsoft Word for 30 years, where it just kind of proofreads and tells you when the word is misspelled. Like, what's the difference? What's going on behind the scenes that AI is such a revolution to the computer world?
That's a good question.
So I'm not an expert in AI. Let's put that on the table. But AI is self-learning.
At this table, so, you're an expert at AI.
So AI is self-learning. So the more it interacts and the more input it receives, the more it learns and defines how to respond. That would be, whereas an app is just a programmed tool.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Like, like Word, you just it's a tool.
Okay. So it's self-learning. Mm-hmm. You know what? If only we had some movies about self-learning computers.
Yeah.
And the positive things they bring to humanity.
Well, it's so funny.
You know, let's do this. Let's turn over humanity to the self-learning computers and see how this works out.
So for my thing, like, ever since the beginning of AI, I've had this fear because I'm a Gen Xer.
Yeah.
And so we grew up
Terminator
movies and The
Want
Matrix.
To play a game.
Yes,
which is war
the
game.
Matthew Broderick
yes.
game. I mean, like, you're like, so I've always had this like, I don't like it, and so I'm definitely a late developer with this. Like, I'm not a late adapter with this. That's what it's a late late developer.
Bill going through puberty. It's at a age 40.
Sometimes it'd be nice. So
late adopter.
Adopter.
So, as you see,
even a better word.
Late adopter. And so anyways, so the whole idea with AI is I was very very leery. And then I had more conversations, and so now I have this chip implanted. No, I'm just kidding. But no, so now I just kind of was, I've been using it. But this is where the conversation came from today, because, again, I still have the John Connor syndrome where I want to see, you know, all AI destroyed at some point because, you know, when they become self-aware, right. All that kind of other
stuff. Well, okay, so I will say, I think this is not a new philosophical question that we as humanity have had to wrestle with,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah.
We have these kind of come up all the time, and I think it was C.S. Lewis that really does a really good job of talking about this, and I don't know the book that he talks about it in, but he I believe he uses the illustration of a hammer, right? And the idea of a hammer is, like, a hammer is inherently good. Right, it is made to build things. It's made to do specific tasks. And when it's used that way, it's exceptionally good.
Yeah.
The problem is that we as humans are inherently evil. Right? And,
yeah.
And that's a big philosophical question. Like, there's a lot in our culture that think humans are inherently good.
Yeah.
And we just happen to do evil. Most Orthodox Christian beliefs look at Scripture and look at humanity and say, no. We are inherently evil.
Yeah,
and we need someone outside of us that is good to work on our behalf.
Yeah, there's none righteous, no, not one.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so because of that inherent evil, we can take something as good as a hammer and turn it evil, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, of just how we are inherently. So it's the guy who takes the hammer. How many movies from the 80s are the guy takes the hammer and just beats the crap out of someone, right?
Yeah.
Now, that hammer isn't inherently good or evil. We often will
it's
use
the tool,
it for
yeah.
good. But because of our own evil, we will find ways to make it evil. And I think that's an important philosophical question to wrestle with as we come to AI, because those who are programming AI, though it's self-learning, we still have people who are programming it from the very beginning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If we understand that we are inherently evil, there's going to be a opportunity when making ethical decisions, which this machine's going to eventually have to make, that is going to impact the direction it goes as itself.
Yeah,
so
one of the
the stories that I heard a while ago. Sorry, I was so quiet on this when we were talking about it earlier. Now I'm just like fired up.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the question of a guy in a self-driving car. The car has learned how to drive. It's been doing it well, and it's going into a crash situation. Right. So now this car has to decide: do I go into the crash situation with the guarantee that the driver is going to die, or do I spear over into the sidewalk where there's a classroom of kids? And the driver will survive, but the kids will not. And how do you program? Because at some point you have to program that kind of ethical hierarchy.
Like the essential greatest good.
Into, right. And you saw that in the movie iRobot.
iRobot.
Right? You saw that in the movie.
That's another one that showed me that someday they're going to take over the world.
You know, if their hearts turn red,
then they're bad.
They're out. Yeah.
Yes.
Then you're dead. If their heart turns red, then you're dead.
Then you're dead.
So,
no, I,
anyways, so, so
no, this conversation is great because so one day I was using this chat GPT and I typed in, I said, what do you think AI's greatest weakness is? Just kind of, hey, let's just see what you think it is.
Interesting.
And this is what it said. It said AI's greatest weakness is its lack of true understanding and human intuition. It processes and generates information based on patterns, but doesn't actually comprehend emotions, experience, or deeper human contexts the way people do. And it led me to what we've always talked about off of this is I think AI can bring a lot to the world of benefits of clarifying things, giving good direction, getting a, you know, a synopsis of hey, how do, you know, what's the top needs for businesses or whatever. Like, they, it can generate all those things. But what it can't do, and it even said it in here, is, and one of the things that hit me was genuine lack of empathy.
Sheldon. It's Sheldon. AL's biggest challenge is that it's going to be Sheldon. It's unable of picking up the nuances and the micro expressions within humans to know how to interact, but it's wicked brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And so that's the part that got me was as I saw it, it was, it did jump to a couple other things, more moral and ethical judgment. We've already talked about that. Dependence on data and bias issues, again, people.
Yep.
But the last one that hit me was inability to handle deeply personal or spiritual matters, which led me to go, man, the greatest thing that is, or I guess I'd say the economy that we're still going to hold as followers of Jesus is authenticity.
Yes.
And relationships.
Yes.
So no matter what, and I mean, people are to some degree building a relationship with this as they're, I mean, there's people that are getting psychological advice from AI, like, hey, what do I do in this crisis? And it's giving them facts and data and things that would be good as a human to do, like breathing exercises and forgiveness.
Right.
But when it comes down to it, there is something different between looking at a computer screen and sitting across the table with a cup of coffee with somebody.
So have either of you guys watched any of the BBC series called Black Mirror? Mm-mm. Are you familiar with this at all?
I'm very familiar with it. It's on my list to watch, but okay. I haven't watched.
If you have not watched it, I would recommend it, wholeheartedly recommend it. I would skip the first episode.
Okay.
The first episode is you need, because
it's pretty
a lot of
raunchy.
People, it is. It, so basically what it is social media hijacks the reputation of a politician and basically forces this politician to do something unspeakable with a pig to give back his reputation, which in essence will ruin his reputation. Does that make sense? And it's this kind of the whole premise is to look in the mirror and realize that we're the problem. And it's our issues that are just, technology isn't the problem. Technology just exasperates.
Magnifies,
that's another good word. Our own sinfulness, our own darkness, right? Mm. So one of them that I found fascinating that kind of applies into this with the relationships is a woman, her husband dies in a car wreck, right? And she's at the funeral, and her friend comes up to her and works for a company. I forget the name of the company that they use in the show all the time. And they're all standalone episodes, so they don't all tie together. And the woman says, hey, listen, our company's been working on something in research, and we are looking for people. And they will basically, if you give us access to your husband's social media account, they can develop a profile for him. And you can text him, and he will respond as he would have.
If he was alive. I feel like we've talked about
and
that.
And
yeah.
So she, in her sorrow, rather than investing in the relationships around her to seek counsel and be able to process and move beyond, she now goes to this artificial representation of her husband, a counterfeit. Let's say what it is. It's a counterfeit. And she starts to text. Well, a few years in, she turns out she was pregnant. So now she has a kid. And it's a really
with
bad.
With the dead husband.
With the dead husband. Okay. Right? And she's still single, still connected to the husband. And the friend reaches out and says, hey, listen, the algorithm's gotten so good. The computer's gotten so good. You can now call. and he'll talk to you in his voice. We just need you to upload all the social media videos that you have of him talking, and you'll be able to carry on a conversation. So now you see her investing in this relationship to carry on a conversation, and it's all of those responses. Well, as you know, fast forward, and we're having it right now with some of the models that are coming out of Japan and some of the sex robots that are coming out of Japan.
It's terrible.
Where you can now upload the images. They can create a robot that looks just like him, and he has all of the nuances that he would pick up from social media. Well, the climax of this is the daughter's there. He's up in the attic because that's where he lives, right? And she's realizing this is a counterfeit. It's not a full presentation because the guy will only say good, positive things because everything he ever put online was good and positive stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so she's getting really mad, and she's like, just criticize me about something. And he's like, no, I think you're perfect. You're amazing. And she goes, no, I'm not. And she slaps the robot. And the robot's like, you know, and just, again, will not elevate to that relational response of, like, I'm really mad about this.
Authentic self kind of thing. Authentic self. Yeah.
And then I won't tell you how it ends. But it ties into this idea that relationships are really hard.
Yeah.
Particularly when you're going through a really hard season. And Kyle, you talked about this. I would love to know your thoughts with the son that is heavily involved in technology and things of that nature. But relationships are hard. And there's an illusion, a counterfeit that's easy in AI that I fear is going to entice the young generation to fall in love with a counterfeit relationship rather than the authentic relationship, because authentic relationships are all so difficult and so hard.
It's almost like the same thing as those who struggle with pornography.
Correct.
It's exactly one-sided, and it's a false view of an individual.
Yep.
And so I think that is where we keep going. I want to hear your thoughts on it too, Kyle, but that's where I'm going to keep hitting or ringing the bell of authenticity and your greatest self, because we've also gone to the point to where we validated ourselves with a false community on social media.
Correct.
We're validating ourselves from not real people to say, no, I don't have anything to offer over and over again. And you guys do the same thing. You sit with guys who feel like they have nothing to offer the world, yet they have within them the only hope in the world.
Right. They're made in the image of God.
Yes. And they have no, they don't feel like they have any authority. Psalm 139, 14 and 15. We are fearfully and wonderfully created. This thing was created by somebody else. We have been created by a heavenly, almighty, holy, righteous, pure, in charge being that owns us and is waiting for us to step out into this awkwardness, because the awkwardness defines how valuable we are.
Right.
This has no awkwardness. It's too clean. It's too crisp. But man, just like you said, the argument with the husband is like, okay, you're just as imperfect as I am.
Right.
And that is the value that if you're listening today, that if you're going, I have nothing to offer. Yes, you do. You have within you brokenness that someone else has. And they need to hear that from you.
Yep.
And that's the value that I think we need to break through. But I don't want to stop the thoughts, Kyle. You're talking about you and your sons. Share that.
Well, he's grown up in this generation. So he's 18 now. But he's grown up in this generation where it's been iPad, computer, online, relationships, right?
Yeah.
So he's really struggling now that he's about to graduate high school. With, you know, he wants a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And he wants to, but he has no clue where to start because he's got some relationships at school, but not really. He's just his gaming buddies.
Yeah.
And all of them are just 18-year-old nerds that play video games.
Yeah.
So there's been none of that. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not like he's in his room all the time.
No. You've got a good son. Yeah.
But at the same time,
you have a typical son that I guarantee every dad that's listening all to these this listeners is like, either there
that's my
or is
kid.
About to be there.
That's
so,
my
yeah,
kid.
Yeah.
So when I grew up, and maybe when you grew up, we didn't have a choice. We were outside building forts, playing football in the street, moving out of the way for the cars.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah.
And girls were there. I mean, it was just you had your society that you were interacting with. So you had these relationships, and they don't have that now. So that's what worries me about these new AI robots and things that are coming along that a lot of these kids are going to look to.
And I think part of the challenge for parents is, even if you want to have fast from digital, right?
Yeah.
And if you aren't currently doing this as a family, I would encourage you to process this and figure out what a fast from technology would look like for you guys. Is it Sunday, you know, where you're like, hey, all the phones stay charged, stay in. We're not going to engage in that. If we're watching TV, we're watching it together. We're not playing video, whatever that looks like. But what when we would do that, the challenge was none of their other friends were doing that.
Yeah.
And so it really became like they were an island unto themselves, and we had to go Little House on the Prairie. And even though we're in the big Metroplex, and we're like, I guess we're not going to play with anyone else today because everyone else is playing online and no one wants to come outside, so let's figure it out. And I think that's part of it, too, where not only do we need to take those Sabbaths and sabbaticals from technology, but I think we need to find community, probably within our churches, that we can introduce this value to them.
Yeah.
So that families together can say, hey, as a community, we're taking this Sunday off.
Yeah.
And that means families, if you have kids in the same age group, go to the park and just let them be bored or let them explore and let them get hurt and let them take risks and experience how we're fully wired to be as human beings.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And I think the question now, because you need authenticity, we need relationships. So I think the bigger thing is, how do we do it? And I think you're touching on that right now, because I think so many people know, like, I've got this problem, but what do we do about it? And it made me come to this verse, Lamentations 3, 22 to 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Okay, we've messed up. We've all messed up. Put our kids on everything. I mean, I was the Game Boy generation, but even then you went outside, you broke your leg, you didn't tell your mom, you just kept on going, you kind of thing. But now it's like I remember one day when my son came to me and said, Dad, and all of his friends were there for some get together. He's like, hey, can you bring us all home? And I'm like, why? He's like, because we want to play together. And I'm like, how does it? When he's like, because we each have our designated IP address that needs our guy online needs their own place to play.
Right,
and I'm
right.
like, okay, so it's been drilled into us, but I think you just hit something. Parents, I think it's never too late, and I think now is the time for us to go, I'm going to find someone, and it's going to be awkward. Step into the awkward. We've talked about that before.
Right.
Find someone who's got kids my kid's age.
Yep.
Have them all over for dinner. Start to develop that muscle again, because there's so much atrophy in these
kids
about relationals, about like relational connection. And so we need to be the ones to step up and say, no, we're going to do this. That's one way.
Yep.
The second thing I would say is get your kid involved in some kind of community. Like if you're in a church, and I'm not saying this, like, this isn't the answer, so don't hear me when I'm saying, but try to get your kid to go to a youth group and meet somebody. It doesn't mean I'm saying that therefore is a solid follower of Jesus. I'm saying get your kid involved in other kids in a place.
Correct.
And that is a place that you're probably going to find some people that are like-minded with you.
Right.
So get them involved. If you know if they're in college, I would say try to find somewhere for them to get involved in. I mean, there's so many college groups that are based on the scriptures, whether it's Navigators or Focus or something like that. Encourage your kid. If you have to say, if you go this week, I'll give you $20. Like, I mean, just get them involved in community, because at that point, they're going to find themselves at least going, I miss this. Because here's the deal. They are lonely and there is no other way.
Right.
And so even if they say it sucked and it was terrible, there was something in them that said, no, I need this. Does that make sense?
Yeah. The counterfeit. So God creates, Satan counterfeits. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that the counterfeit will satiate you and sustain you for a while, but it won't keep you there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You eventually will get bored with the counterfeit, right?
Yeah.
And so you'll look for a new high, a new something somewhere else. And so I agree with you. My daughter, when she went to college, she got involved in a church, and her shift for her at church was she went from just going to a small group to, I'm going to volunteer on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, her investment in the relationships that blossomed from that were so different than just going to a small group with kind of an artificial experience. Good, right?
Yeah.
But yeah. So anyways, gentlemen, these are important questions that we need to wrestle with. These are important questions that you need to wrestle with your spouse.
Yeah.
Even if they're technology illiterate or whatever, these are still big philosophical questions that we have to step into. Because if we're not stepping into them, they're going to step over us.
Yeah.
And that's the position we don't want to be in, where we're caught flat-footed or we're starting to reap the fruits of what's been sown for us and we've had nothing to say about it.
Yeah, so I would say the takeaway this week, the question that we want you to ask is, how do I pour into authentic relationships? That's the question this week. How do I pour into authentic relationships this week? Not some arbitrary thing, but make the phone call, send the text, begin the relationship this week. Dig deeper than that, because you're not alone. And more people are lonely than you think they are.
And leverage lunches.
Yeah.
As a pastor, I found that leveraging lunch with people is huge. So I do want to have a fast one.
Okay,
go for
it. So
I got a fast one.
Go for it, yeah. Do you have your fast one?
Oh.
I'm waiting for the sound effect.
Well, that's a Fast Five. That's
So it's like Fast one. Here's the one. I was inspired by this conversation today. Back in the day, we all had our video games that we'd go to. Okay. If you could have one old school video game in your living room, what video game? Not one of those that like has like 30 different options and everything else. Like the old school legit. You went to, you know,
Are you talking about like arcade video games?
Yeah. The arcade video game.
Do you
want
to start first?
Which arcade video game would you put in your house?
I think for me, it would either be Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat. Either one of those. Because you can choose like 8-10 guys.
Right.
And then when you get like the blood code and it's like fake blood, like red. It was so awesome. That would be the one that I would do.
So you're a little bit younger than me. I was a little older, and so I was just a button masher on that one. Like the 6 buttons that you could do combos, I would just hit them all every time.
Yeah.
So mine's Galaga.
Ooh,
I love Galaga.
That was
a
good game.
I could spend hours on Galaga and just, you know. Yes.
Yeah, so good.
Learn the patterns and just, yeah.
I love it. What about you? What about you, sir?
I'm going to go with a game called Gauntlet.
I remember Gauntlet. Great game.
4 people would play at a square little video thing, and it was like a D&D kind of thing.
Yep.
It was a lot of fun.
That was a fun game. I remember the one on
there. Oh, I do remember that one.
He had some kind of like, he would swing his axe or something. Yes. It was so good.
You could pick an elf or a magician. Yes. Maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Such a good game.
The flood of memories.
I know, all
those
games. I had
forgotten that one.
Oh, yeah. So
fantastic.
Solid stuff. Guys, thanks for listening today. Yes. I know that I've got a couple thoughts, but
the only thing else is if you're looking for something fun to do, man, I know our communities around here, there's a ton of like nickel play, free play, old school
right across,
arcade places.
Yeah.
Put down $20 with you and your kids and just let them experience what you knew was the mall in the 1980s.
It was so
and
good.
90s,
it was so good.
So good.
So good. Well, guys, thanks for listening. I want to give you a heads up. September 19th through the 21st is our next Legacy Men's Events Weekend. So,
I don't know what I'm doing.
That was
here.
a great weekend. So it's going to be at Arrowhead Camp in Glen Rose, Texas. We'd love to have you there. But mark your calendars now. We are going to be having a great time out there.
Absolutely great.
As well as we've got a lot of other stuff going on. So sign up to our email list. We'll put a link in the bio to sign up. We'd love to have you support and stay. That's what a lot of people say. How can we support you guys?
Yep.
It's like sharing this, jumping on the email list, giving us $1 million.
Joining
those
us.
Are the three things that you could do that would help us. And
That'd be great. Hey, thank you guys so much. God bless. And remember, go for the creator, not the counterfeit.
And man, have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the No Legacy Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. So email us your questions or comments to info@nolegacy.org.